Got Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider, joining us now. He's presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air. Troy, good morning. I'm curious, did you get the same kind of reaction from fans that I got, where people really weren't too upset about the loss? Actually pretty happy with the way it all went down yesterday.
Yeah, I would not say that, because there was real disappointment in the clock management issues that we saw. Vic's reluctance to call timeout in the opener, and then his decision to call two timeouts when the Raiders were in chaos at the end of the game. So there was still a lot of that frustration regarding Vic Fangio. But, you know, overall, it was the best case scenario. You compete in a game and lose and get a better draft pick, because obviously a victory would have meant zero in the big picture. But fans were still upset because the loss reminded them a lot of the season opener against the Titans, at least on my timeline on Twitter.
So we all accept that players improve from year one to year two, and even in year three they make a huge jump. We expect that out of young players. Can we expect the same thing out of Vic Fangio to improve as he hits his third year as a head coach?
Well, if you believe they're going to play meaningful games in December next year, you have to have that expectation. I mean, Vic's a brilliant defensive coach. I've talked to multiple players who played from him, but not only here, but at different stops. He's viewed as a professor in the way he sees defense and puts guys in position to succeed. But the reality is, he's never been a head coach prior to this, and that has shown up multiple times over the first 2 years in Denver. He's got to get better, Nate, and I don't know if that is having someone different in his ear. They had an analytics guy in his ear his first season. He wasn't comfortable with it. They moved on from that person. That's his prerogative. He's got to be comfortable. It's his decisions on game day. But he needs a better system, for me, on game day to help him, because he gets so laser focused on the defense, he doesn't see the big picture at times. And that rarely happens with offensive minded head coaches, because they're constantly dealing with clock management as an offensive coach. As a defensive coach, you're dealing with stops. You're not dealing with the clock. So I just think they need a better system on how he's being informed of issues during 2 minute warning and late in game. And they need something in place, some guardrails to help him. This is my opinion, next year, to make it easier on him.
In 2 years, he's gone 7-9 and 5-11. He's 12-20 in 2 years. And yet he and the entire coaching staff will be back. Why is continuity so important for John Elway? Why is he so against the idea of changing things up again?
Well, some of it you have to frame it with the context of where they are as an organization. When Vance Joseph got fired under similar circumstances, he walked into expectations. You know, when you look back at it, they were unfair expectations because the team wasn't very good, but they were 1 year removed from, you know, winning a Super Bowl. And there was this feeling like it's just a quick reboot. We're going to be right back in the playoffs. Then yet Vance didn't have a quarterback, and he was not on the same page. They didn't like what they were seeing at the end when they lost their last four games in Vance's second year. In Fangio's case, they know there was more work to do based on what he walked into. He still doesn't necessarily have the firm quarterback, that position solidified. Certainly they like Locke, at least some of the things he does. But why continuity? Elway's got one more year on his deal. Joe Ellis's future, you know, after the following season could be in question. There's unstable ownership. You just look into it, Mike, and what would be the solution if you moved on from Fangio, given the status of the hierarchy in the Broncos organization? So, you know, you look at it and go, should you just run it back and hope in continuity helps in a third year get this thing back to where you're playing meaningful games in December? What is crazy to this is they have now missed the playoffs in five straight years. That's tied for the second longest drought in the NFL. The Jets had the longest, and then it's the Broncos and Arizona Cardinals. Like, that's where they are now. It's not that they're having a bad run for Denver. They are now the second longest playoff drought in the NFL. And so they've got ground to cover next year.
Prior to yesterday, they had on defense only 12 takeaways, and they had four yesterday, which was really good. But I think the consensus is that they need more kind of ball hawks and dogs on that defense. What positions on defense you think need to be upgraded this offseason, and what defensive players do you think they're going to part with?
Well, it starts at cornerback. Bryce Callahan was playing Pro Bowl caliber football, but he played 10 games He's never played 16 games, Nate, in a full in a season. So you can't count on him to be out there every week. So I would, if you don't draft a quarterback in the first round, right, as we sit here today, I'd say it's unlikely, but I don't say never, never say never on this. But you look at a Patrick Surtain type from Alabama or a corner, if you don't like Surtain, a corner in the first round that could come in and start, and I would add one in free agency. I would add two corners, both who could maybe start, but certainly one of them has to start because they're going to move on from A.J. Boye. We know that. At linebacker, I need a coverage linebacker. Julian Alexander Johnson do some nice things, but I need to diversify my defense. And maybe, you know, Joel's a first down player. He's not on the field in coverage. I don't know, but I need more playmaking out of linebacker position. And then you got to decide what you're going to do at outside linebacker. If Vaughn is coming back, I think they will bring him back. They'll find a solution. That's not guaranteed, and that the specter of Vaughn's future is going to hang over this offseason. They have to make a decision by March 17th whether to pick up a club option that would guarantee him $7 million. But as we sit here today, I still think they could work something out, and they would like to see Von Miller and Bradley Chubb play together for Vic Fangio. I think they played four games together in Vic's 2 years. But cornerback and linebacker would be at the start of that. Guys they'd be moving on from, again, the cornerback position, it's going to, that room's going to be completely reshaped, Nate, and that's the one where you have to address it in with multiple players.
Justin Simmons?
Yeah, I don't see them letting him go anywhere. They could still franchise tag him. One of the advantages of signing Bowles during the season is they could franchise tag Simmons a second time. My issue is this. If you don't award Justin Simmons a long-term deal, who is a candidate for a long-term deal? He's going to probably get All-Pro again. He just got Pro Bowl. He's your Walter Payton Man of the Year in back-to-back seasons. He's a leader in the community and the locker room. He leads you with five interceptions. And he's your Cal Ripken. He never misses a snap. So if you're not going to pay him, who are you going to pay? And honestly, it's not a great look if you pay Bowles based on, you know, a three-fourths of a season and don't pay Simmons. I just, you can't just, I know the price tag is going to be a little uncomfortable. I don't care. You have the money. And if you don't, then I guess that's a bigger issue. But Simmons is the exact kind of guy you do reward with a long-term contract. He's a playmaker on a defense that needs them. He would be my top priority. I would try to re-sign Shelby Harris as well. But Simmons is a no-brainer for me to sign on a long-term deal.
There's a lot of position groups that are going to have some changes. I think one that probably won't have any is the wide receiver room. In fact, they might have to get rid of a guy when Cortland Sutton comes back. Tyree Cleveland played well yesterday. Deshaun Hamilton came on good at the end of the season. How do you see that receiver room shaping out?
Well, they need Cortland Sutton back, and Sutton would take the pressure off Jerry Jeudy. I was one that said Jerry Jeudy would bounce back, and I believed it because of what I was hearing from his teammates and how hard he works at practice, how much he cares. You know, yeah, he got upset this season on targets and, you know, other issues. But the reality is he is a winning player, and he showed that yesterday. Jerry Jeudy's got a chance to be a special type player, especially, you know, once he, you know, gets more consistent catching the football because his route running is elite. And you put Sutton with him, and Sutton's also, not only do you bring his production back, Nate, you bring him back as a leader in the room who can be a rudder for Jerry Jeudy during tough times. That will help. Tim Patrick needs to come back. You know, he's a restricted free agent. He's a playmaker. He's a special teams guy. He's got value and diversity. And you have KJ Hamler healthy. I mean, for me, Deshaun Hamilton would be the odd man out in that group. He just hasn't had enough production during his career. I know they like him. But again, if Hamler comes back with a healthy Sutton, you know, he just, for me, there's just not room. Tyree Cleveland is that, you know, that fifth kind of guy that can play special teams. But there, you're right. Their skilled positions look decent. If Albert Osh comes back healthy with Noah Fant, I like that. Their offensive line, outside of right tackle, there's some encouraging things going on there. You know, it's just, can they get better? They have to make a statistical jump. Just health alone, I hate when teams say that. Well, if we're healthy, we'll be fine, because no one stays healthy in the NFL, and so many teams have that argument that you live in the silo that, wow, Broncos got hurt by injuries, and they did. But I could name 5 to 7 teams who were in similar positions, starting with San Francisco. So you just have to be careful saying, well, if we get healthy, we're going to be fine. you can't just count on health as a reason to make a significant jump. You have to get better at certain positions.
Visit with a Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. Okay, call your shot. Will there be competition for Drew Lock? And if so, how will that, what form will that come in? A trade, a signing, a draft pick?
There will be competition. They have to protect himself and put him on notice. They like Drew Lock. They know that the turnovers have to improve. You can't lead the league in interceptions and be near the bottom in completion percentage and win in the NFL. Drew isn't why they lost yesterday. He played fine. And he ended his 11-game turnover streak, which was the longest active streak in the NFL. That's a positive sign. But I believe it'll be a veteran, Mike. I don't think it'll be in the top 10 in the draft pick. Again, it could, especially if they move up. I just don't know. That's so much time before now in the draft. But, you know, for me, it would be a veteran. And so is that an Andy Dalton? Is it Jacoby Brissett? Is it Gardner Minshew? Nick Foles gets mentioned. I think Foles is done for me. I wouldn't bring him in. He looks done to me. But if not only do you get competition to challenge Locke, which competition is a good thing on good teams. It makes players better. It really does. And secondly, if Locke's having a tough game, you have a guy you can go to in the bullpen to win a game. You saw it with Fitzpatrick, you know, this year with Miami. There's sometimes a guy doesn't have it. He's 7-for-20 with two picks, and you're only down a score going into the, you know, late in the third. Sometimes you just need someone to come off the bench to win a game. And that's the other reason I would add a veteran, just to keep you in a better position, not only to cover for injury, but also during a game to go win one. But I do think there'll be veteran competition. I think it'll be through a free agent signing. But again, that's sitting here in January. But I do think it'll be a veteran.
All right, Troy. Thank you.
Thanks, Troy.
You got it, too.
Troy Rank, our Denver 7 insider. He's presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air.